I ask that this morning, God, that this word would not just be an academic mental ascension for us, Lord, but God, that this would go deep and that, Lord, there would be true, real, deep, significant, eternal transformation that occurs because of your word this morning. Have your way. Amen. Amen. I was thinking about God this week because we're in this series called Make God Big Again. So it's always a good week to think about God, by the way. And I was thinking about the reality that God doesn't hide things from us. We're His children. We're His church. And He doesn't hide things from us. Rather, He hides things for us. I want that to sink in for a little bit here. God isn't hiding things from you, but He has hidden some things for you. The Lord conceals things, there's no doubt about it, but then He reveals those hidden things to hungry people who are going after it, who are seeking it out. I love what it says in Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings. Jesus Himself tells us that if we seek, we will find. He told us that when He preached His Sermon on the Mount. If we seek, we will find. So, are you ready to seek and find the most valuable thing in the universe? Are you ready? Seriously, are you ready? I mean, we're talking about finding the most significant, most marvelous, amazing thing in the universe. So what we're going to do is we're going to continue our study then of making God big again in our lives. The bigger God gets, the better life gets. The bigger God gets, the bigger our faith gets. The bigger God gets, the bigger our view of God, the more of God we begin to see and experience in and through our lives. That's why we've decided to make God big again in our lives, in our hearts, in our devotion, because He's worth it. And as we're going to continue in this series of making God big again, we're going to encounter the marvelous reality that God is faithful. God is faithful. That's going to be the topic this morning. The faithfulness of God, that attribute of God, that He is faithful. It says in Lamentations 3, now I want you to be honest when I ask this question. How many of you have been in the book of Lamentations in the last 6 months? Okay, we got a couple, two, three, four hands up. Awesome. Lamentations 3, beginning of verse 21. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. You want to know how to have hope? God's about to tell you. I call this to mind, I recall this, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great, 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 great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Great is God's faithfulness. Great is His faithfulness. Why? Because He is God. Sometimes we don't grasp that. We don't grasp that He's God. That He's got over that situation in our lives. And sometimes we don't grasp the reality that He is always faithful. Why don't we grasp that reality? Because life has been hard. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I think the room would have a bunch of hands up. Life can be hard. And it's hard for some people in the room right now. Really hard for some people in the room. People have felt let down. Maybe you felt abandoned. Disappointed or cheated by somebody in your life. Some have watched as their parents haven't been faithful to one another. resulting possibly in separation or maybe even all the way to divorce. Some of you have experienced that firsthand yourself, a spouse who's been unfaithful to you. Have you been let down by a close friend, maybe even a family member who hasn't been there in your time of need? Most of us have. We have. We live in a fallen world. There's sin out there. Things aren't perfect. And because of the brokenness of our world, many of us have had our hearts jaded, kind of beat up and jaded to the point we don't believe that anyone can be completely faithful and true. The problem is when we start putting that on God, even questioning if He is really always faithful. See, that's when it gets dangerous. But I want to tell you something very clearly today. In fact, I want to go beyond just telling you something clearly. I want to prove very clearly this morning that God will not disappoint. That He is faithful. In fact, God is the definition and He is the perfection of faithful. We can always, 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 always count on Him. How many of you know Jesus? Come on, hands up in the room. And if your hand didn't go up, I'm here to let you know that you were created to know Him, by the way. You were created to know Jesus as your Lord, your Savior, your Redeemer, your King, your friend. Let me tell you about Jesus a little bit as it relates to the faithfulness of God. Jesus did the will of His Heavenly Father. Why did He do it? Because of His faithfulness. Jesus stepped down from His place of glory at the right hand of the Father and came to this earth and He put on flesh. Why? Because of His faithfulness. Not because it was convenient, but because He is faithful. Jesus then on this earth lived a perfect life. He said no to sin, tempted in every single way, yet said no to all of that. Why? Because of His faithfulness. Jesus then was taken and beaten, ripped apart. And then He gave up His life. He gave Himself up and hung on a cross because of His faithfulness. But we know, we just got done with Easter, right? Somehow that was temporary because then He was resurrected from the dead, having victory over death and over sin. Why? Because of His faithfulness. That's how far God's faithfulness has gone and continues to go in and for our lives. You can count on God. He's faithful and He is true. Others will let you down. Okay? I'll let you down. Just being real. Others will let you down. Thank you for the I won't, but I will. I'm just telling you. People are going to disappoint you. But you can always count on God. You can always count on Him. He will never disappoint you. I love what the psalmist, what King David says in Psalm 37. He actually makes this statement. It's found in the New King James Version. So if you don't have that version, you're going to be looking going, what are you talking about, Pastor? But in the New King James Version, this statement is made. It talks about feeding on the faithfulness of God. We're encouraged in Psalm 37 to feed on the faithfulness of God. Do you feed on His faithfulness? Do you feed on His faithfulness every single day? Is it part of your daily diet? Yes. It should be. Yes. It needs to be. It needs to be in my life more and more. I got to make it a daily part of my diet. I mean, it's got to be there. It's got to be there. I got to feed on His faithfulness. Because if we don't, we get pulled in to getting all messed up mentally, emotionally, and even spiritually. But when we feed on His faithfulness, He takes the wholeness of our lives and He brings that peace. He brings that calm. He brings that reassurance that protects us from doing stupid things. God's faithfulness protects us. We need to feed on it. Are you ready to dive in, to go to the table of God and just start to feed on the faithfulness of God? Get your Bibles out. Ready to go? All right. We're going to look at four powerful examples of God's faithfulness this morning. Four powerful examples of His faithfulness. And we're going to launch right into the first one. That is this, that God is faithful to forgive us. The first powerful example that we're going to feed on is that God is faithful to forgive us. And forgiveness is something every single one of us in the room needs. I'm looking at you right now. You're looking at me. We know we all need forgiveness. We need it. It says in Romans 3:23, all of us have sinned, every single one of us in this room, and we've all fallen short of God's glory. So every single one of us in this room, we are desperate for forgiveness, in desperate need of being forgiven. It says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, that God is what? Say it again. He's faithful. If we confess our sins, and we all have them, and we've all had them, it's part of brokenness. If we confess those sins, though, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins, and then go beyond that, and not only forgive us our sins, but purify us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful to forgive us. And it's crazy forgiveness. It's unmerited. It's uncommon. It's God's amazing grace that He would forgive us our sins, because we know what we've done. We know who we've been. And the enemy wants to keep reminding of you of that. But God wants you to run and feed on His faithfulness right now, to receive His forgiveness and His purifying love over your life, because you no longer have to live in that or be affected by that in any way, because God is faithful to forgive us. Me and you, all of us who call on His name. All of us who run to Jesus. All of us who confess. I want to say something together. I usually don't do this like we're all talking and I'm asking for interaction and all that, although I kind of love it. Sometimes I'm like, man, let's get more Pentecostal. Woo, come on. But I want to do something together. I want to put this statement up on the screen, if you would. I want us to say this together, because what comes out of our mouths is powerful. And I don't want us just to think happy thoughts about the faithfulness of God and that we've been forgiven. I want us to declare it with our mouths. And I want to do it together, because I love that truth about God's economy, that one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can send 10,000 fleeing. I love what happens when there's agreement in the body of Christ. Things go exponential, things go crazy, and the glory of God starts falling and freedom starts happening. So we're going to declare this together. Are you ready, church?
Yes.
All right, so I want to hear it. I don't want to be the loudest one, even though I have a microphone here. Are you ready? God is faithful to forgive me. And we're going to say that again. And I want you to really think about that this time. And I want you to declare that about your life right now. You ready? God is faithful to forgive me. Amen. Exclamation point. Amen. God is faithful. He is faithful to forgive us. But it even goes further. How many of you know that we can keep pursuing God, but we're always going to find more?
Yeah.
That we can walk in and experience the goodness of God, but there's always more right around the corner. There's always more. And so not only is God faithful to forgive us, but we're going to look at the second powerful reality of the faithfulness of God, and that is that God is faithful to free us. So He's faithful to forgive us, But He's also faithful to free us. God doesn't just forgive us and then clean up our mess, although He does that. He forgives us. He'll even clean up our mess. But instead of stopping there, what does He do? He gives us what we need then to avoid the mess. He gives us what we need moving forward in His grace, all we need to live a life of freedom from sin. Freedom from the brokenness that was taking us down. Freedom from what we needed forgiveness for and from. He is faithful to free us. I love it because God basically gives us all we need to kick sin in the teeth. Amen. To rip the gates of hell off their hinges and to bring the glory of God into our lives in every area of our lives. That's what God gives us. God is faithful to free us. I love what it says in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Check this out. Memorize this one. No temptation has seized you except what's common to man. Now let's stop there for a moment. What Paul is saying there to the church in Corinth, which had a lot of need for forgiveness, like we all do, had a lot of dysfunction going on. He's saying to these people who are in the middle of coming out of sinful lives, he's saying, look, I know you're still tempted, but the temptation that you're experiencing, other people are experiencing it too. I know it seems like heavier than what anyone else could ever have, and therefore something that maybe never you're going to be able to overcome. But let me tell you the reality. No temptation has come upon you except what's common to man. And then he continues and he says, and God is faithful. Why? Because He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. In other words, the temptation isn't going to be too much for you to overcome in Christ. Never. No temptation is too big for us, too heavy for us, too powerful for us to conquer and to overcome in Christ. In Christ. And he continues, Paul says, but when you are tempted, because it's going to happen, look at that, don't judge the condition of your life in Christ based on whether you're tempted or not. Because if you judge it that way, you're always going to think that you're less than, that something's wrong with you. Temptation is a part of life. All right, Jesus is coming back and there won't be any more of that. Praise God, right? But right now it's part of life. So Paul says to the church, but when you are tempted, God will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. That's some amazing truth. That's some great encouragement. That underscores that second powerful reality of God's faithfulness, that God is faithful to free us. He's faithful to free us. He always provides a way out. He provides a way out. Sometimes we got to really look for it. But the way out is always there. And God is faithful to provide the way out. And He's faithful to provide the grace and the fortitude and all we need to stand up under that temptation as we're waiting for the way out to open up in our lives. God is faithful. He doesn't throw us to the wolves. He's delivered us from the wolves. He's delivered us from sin and death. And He has set us free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. God is faithful to free us. Now, we're all familiar with the story of Exodus, right? We're talking about God's people coming out of Egypt. You remember Charlton Heston, right? Well, anyway, if you're old enough, you remember Charlton Heston, meaning Moses. He played Moses, right? So you got Moses, you got Pharaoh, let my people go. Yeah, right? So you got all that whole thing going on right there, and the plagues that God sent in order to bring freedom. God will rain terror on the devil to bring freedom to His children, to His people. He will, because He's all about freedom. He'll do what He's going to have to do to bring us freedom. And He has. He went all the way to the cross. Resurrected from the dead. Okay, so we got it. The Exodus, let my people go. It's a reminder that God always provides a way out. That's what I love about Exodus. In fact, Exodus means the way out. Ex Exodus. That's why you look around here and you see the exit signs, right? Those are the Exodus signs. These are the way outs. In case of emergency, make your way to anyway. God always provides a way out. So what happened? So the Israelites, after all these plagues were going down, Pharaoh weakened and finally said, okay, get out of here. The Israelites were let go. They were freed from captivity by God. God freed his people from slavery. And so they leave Egypt. They're on their way out to freedom, and all of a sudden they come up against the Red Sea. They can't move any further. Pharaoh's starting to change his mind, and he's going to come back after him, which is exactly what the devil does to us, right? Look at the parallel. You have been set free. You've walked away from it, but then the enemy comes back and he tries to put you right back into that same slavery that you were just freed from. And so what happened? All the Israelites, they're backed up to the Red Sea and they're thinking, what has God done? Has he freed us just to put us back in bondage again? Because that's what it looks like, and that's what it looks like sometimes in our lives. I was set free from that sin years ago, but now it's coming back and the temptation's coming back and it's hard. And how do I keep saying no? Am I just going to get pulled right back into it? Is that just the way life is going to be? And God said, nope, that's not how it's going to be for my people. It may look like that's how it is for my people, but I'm about to do something supernatural for my people. I'm about to break open something that nobody thought could be broken open. And what did God do? He parted a sea, and he allowed his people to continue to walk in freedom, not go back in captivity, but he made a way for his people to continue to walk in freedom. God is still doing that for us today. That's the point. He's still doing that for us today. He is faithful to free us, and he continues to give us the powerful exodus. We've been set free not to be put back in bondage, but to continue to walk in freedom. I want us to understand God is still parting the sea. He's still moving the mountains. He's still doing this in our lives today. God is still providing a way of escape. He's still calming the storms also. God is the same today as he was back in the day with Charlton Heston. I mean, Moses, he's still the same today. He hasn't changed. He's supernatural. He's doing big things for us. He purchased our freedom, not so that we go back in slavery and bondage, so that we would enjoy this new life. Look for the way out. Always look for the exodus and believe God that He can perform a miracle to open up that exodus for you. He can. He already has in your life. See, God doesn't call us to a new life in Christ and then leave us hanging. That'd be kind of sick, wouldn't it? God's not that way. He doesn't do that to us. He's faithful to fill us with his grace and give us all we need to say no to our old ways and to say yes to him every single day. He's faithful. He's given us real transforming grace. And there's not an expiration on his grace. And there's not an expiration on freedom. It's been freely given to us. And we get to enjoy it now and forever. Often when I walk through my day, I have to keep reminding myself, I have all I need. Yeah, it's hard right now. Yeah, I don't understand what's going on, but I have all I need. This temptation's coming back at me. Yeah, but I have all I need. I have all I need. And God is faithful. See, God is stronger than whatever temptation's coming at us. Whatever situation is coming at you, God is stronger. We talked about it last week. Remember, he's that deep ocean current that's sovereignly moving your life. And he's faithful to continue to move you in his direction for his glory. And when we go his direction, it's always good. Let's look at the third powerful example of God's faithfulness. Number three, God is faithful to fulfill His promises. So He's faithful to forgive. He's faithful to free us. And God is faithful to fulfill His promises. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 1, beginning in verse 18. God's Word says, "But as surely as God is faithful..." How many of you know God's Word continues to underscore His faithfulness? Okay, we could keep going on that. But here we are, 2 Corinthians 1. "As surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in Him, it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." It's a reminder, God is faithful to fulfill every single one of His promises. Every single one, not just some of them. Yes to that one, no to that promise. Yes to this promise, no to that promise. Paul reminds us, no, the promises of God are always yes and amen. Not yes and no. Yes and amen. And Christ, His life, it testifies to that truth. That God's promises are always yes. Every single prophetic word from the Old Testament spoken about the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Jesus came, He fulfilled the yes for every single one of those promises of God that He was sending the Messiah. Jesus is the indicator, the evidence that God is faithful to fulfill every single one of His promises. They are always yes and amen. And Jesus is the evidence of that. And they're still yes and amen. And Jesus is the fulfillment of that now in every single one of those promises that's still spoken and alive and active in, through, and over our lives. God is faithful. He is faithful. I want to tell a story. I told this story several years ago, but I was reminded of it this week. And it's kind of a sweet story. There was a saintly old grandmother, and she used to rejoice in the promises of God. I mean, she was alive in God's promises. She would rock in her rocking chair with her Bible open on her knee and just laugh and giggle and enjoy God's Word, looking up her favorite passages and sometimes doze off in the middle of just being immersed in the Word of God. I do that sometimes. I'm going to be upfront and honest right now. And that is that when I'm in the prayer room, sometimes I just fall asleep as I'm praying and I'm sitting with God. And you know what? That's okay. God loves that. Because if He didn't want me to fall asleep, He'd keep me awake. Because He's sovereign. Amen. Amen. It's a short little nap. Talking 15 minutes maybe. That's all. And then I'm right back at it. Lord, help this church family. No. Anyway. So anyway, this saintly old grandmother, she just loved the Word of God. And she'd just fall asleep sometimes right in the middle of reading His Word. And it was so sweet. She'd be rocking in her old chair. She'd wake up again, continue reading, kind of like I'd wake up, continue praying. But there was one day she dozed off and never woke back up. That happens, right? Yeah, and her Bible was left open on her knee. And when her family came in, they found it open, and they took her Bible. Her son and his wife began to read it day by day. And day by day, as they were reading her Bible, they would come across little passages, little etchings, little notes that she had made next to passages, underlines and words and abbreviations and all of these kind of things in her Bible. And they kept coming across these two letters, and they couldn't figure out, what did TP mean? The letter T and the letter P. What was this? Why did she keep writing TP next to these passages? They couldn't figure it out until eventually they came upon those abbreviations written out fully beside one of God's promises. And she had written, "Tried and proved." TP, tried and proved. How many promises of God can we write that beside in our Bibles? tried, and proved. See, God is faithful to fulfill His promises. He's faithful. His promises are true. And He wants us to have the faith to test Him in His promises and to believe Him that His promises are true. Here's the reality. I'm still waiting on some of those promises. I'm still waiting on them. We're all still waiting on the promise of His return. But there are so many other promises that I'm waiting on. But as I wait on those promises, I choose to remind myself of the other promises that have already been tried and proved, where I have seen time and time again the faithfulness of God. And the one who is faithful to fulfill all of these other promises in my life is the same one who is faithful to fulfill these promises I'm still waiting for the evidence of. He's faithful. TP. Tried and proved. Tried and proved. God is faithful. He's faithful to forgive us. He's faithful to free us. He's faithful to fulfill His promises. And the fourth powerful reality of His faithfulness I want us to look at this morning is that God is faithful to keep us. 1 Corinthians 1, beginning in verse 8. God will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. He is faithful to keep us. When we give our lives to Christ, when we surrender our lives to Him, when we live under His lordship, when we put our hope in Him, He is faithful to keep us strong. He is faithful to complete His work in us. God will do it. We won't be let down by Him. We won't ever be abandoned by Him. God is faithful to keep us. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Do you battle with fear in your life? Do you battle with anxiety? Press into the faithfulness of God. Be alive in His faithfulness. Be reassured of His faithfulness, that He's not running away from you. He's right there with you, and He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Everything around us has the potential to change. I want to go ahead and say that everything around us will change in some way. But God, it's forever the same. Unchangeable, immovable, always faithful. We can rely on Him. I love what Proverbs 3:3 says. It says, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you." And so then look what the writer of Proverbs says. "So bind it around your neck." So keep it close. Keep that reality of God's love and His faithfulness like really close to you. Like right around the place where you breathe, hanging right over your heart. Keep the love and the faithfulness, that reality, close to you. To where you can be reminded of it every day. You can grab hold of His love and His faithfulness at all times, in all situations. Bind it, tie it around your neck. And write down His love and His faithfulness. Make notes. Keep a journal of the faithfulness, the goodness, and the love of God. And never forget it. Remind yourself of those things. Remind yourself. When we grasp the faithfulness of God, when we truly believe that He is faithful, transformation happens in our hearts and our minds. Because God's faithfulness changes us. Brings peace and life and freedom. It changes us. Some of us have had a difficult time trusting God. We go through a season maybe. Maybe some of us in this room are in a season right now. We're just kind of struggling with trust, even trusting God. You're struggling with believing God that He's going to really fulfill that promise, that He's really going to come through, that things are really going to change, that His goodness and mercy are really following you right now. You may be struggling with that in your life. I recently read about an old man who was walking on a beach at dawn, and he came across this younger guy. He was walking ahead of him, and he was watching this young man picking up starfish. He'd pick up the starfish, and then he'd throw the starfish back into the ocean. So the older guy caught up with the younger guy, and he asked him, "What are you doing? Why are you doing this?" Then the answer was that the stranded starfish would die if they were left in the morning sun. They would die. But the older guy said, the beach goes on for miles and miles and miles, and there are millions of starfish. How can your effort make any difference? The young man looked at the starfish in his hand. He took it, and he carefully threw it back into the sea. When he responded to the older gentleman, he said, "It makes a difference to this one." Picked up another one and did the same thing. "It makes a difference to this one. It makes a difference to this one." And I believe God wants you to know this morning that you make a difference to Him. And His faithfulness is for you. For you. And whatever it is that you're dealing with right now, you may feel like you're just laying out there on the beach in the hot sun, drying up. You're thirsty, but there's nothing there to drink. God wants you to allow Him to take you up in His hand right now. Because He loves you. He wants you to allow Him to return you to that place where you're healthy and alive, where you thirst no more. He wants you to allow Him to experience His faithfulness in your life. He wants you to have that right now. That's His desire for you this morning. You matter to God. And His promises for you are yes and amen. And since God is for you, nothing can be against you. Since God is for you, that situation will not take you out. God's plans and purposes and His promises for your life are still moving forward. He is still the sovereign King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That deep current that is in charge and that's caring for you. And He is that one who has you in His hand right now. And He is returning you to that sea, that place of life. He loves you. God is big and He is faithful. I want us to give a moment here before we're finished up this morning to not just hear about the faithfulness of God, but to begin to interact with it and to begin to open up whatever area that is in our life there where we need that faithfulness again, where we need to swim in the sea of His faithfulness once again. Let's sing that song, "It Is Well," again. Maybe the chorus and the ending of it again. And I want to ask you, if you want to just lay something before the Lord, if you want to just come up here, even as an act, I'm just getting it, even as an act of being like that starfish and just placing yourself up here for Him to grab hold of you or that situation in your life and to apply His faithfulness to it. Let's do that right now as we're singing.
My eyes are on You. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on You, and it is well. It is well. But hold my soul and trust in Him. The waves and winds still know His name. So let go my soul and trust in Him. The waves and wind still know.